Find this podcast and others like it at the number one new media network, Podshow.com. Better, faster, stronger. And now with new minty fresh scent.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow. LaSalle Bank. LaSalle Bank, making more possible.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queer Cast live from the Holiday Inn at the Golden Globes. Well, those are Peter's Golden Globes. Listening to the Windy City Queer Cast show number 70. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. And they are a little golden because I did go for one tanning session so far.
My Golden Globes are a little white right now. They're a little pale. I need a little tanning session.
That's okay. How are you doing?
I'm tired.
And your big run of your heavy.
I'm sorry, are we doing a show now? I'm tired.
You're very heavy. Play Mama. I saw your play, yes. The Execution of Justice, yes. And it's heavy stuff.
Yes.
It's wonderfully done, I have to say. It was just so
Thank
wonderful.
You.
And I saw like the first preview, so
You did.
I'm
Come
so
back.
Excited.
Lots is changing. Lots is changing. We've had, our playwright came in town, and yeah, we're having some audiences and feedback. It's all good changes. It's not because anybody goes, that sucks. It's just like, we are just chewing this piece up, and it's just, it's really exciting, you know. It's exciting work. So we're definitely going to be sitting down and talking with the director Gary Griffin, who did The Color Purple
awesome.
On Broadway, and The Apple Tree with Kristen Chenoweth, which is running right now at the Roundabout in New York, and also the playwright Emily Mann, who many people might know, wrote Having Our Say about the Delaney sisters, and she's written a piece at Greensboro that was about David Duke and the Ku Klux Klan. She's a fascinating woman. So she's here too, so we're going to be sitting down. That'll come out here very
come
soon.
Out in a week or so.
We don't open until this weekend, so we've got some times. But speaking of acting, like the big night where the actors all get awards and they also get to booze it up at a table and not listen to the speakers because they've gotten up and they've crisscrossed
God.
Reese Witherspoon's talking to Prince, who's talking to like Alice and Janney. It's also freaky and weird to
who
me.
Showed up late as hell, that Prince
did. Yeah, in his mustard suit.
He always wears that yellow damn suit.
Mustard.
He needs to get a new suit. He needs to wear
it. It was a bore, I thought.
Oh my God. And how bad was the hair? Vanessa Williams, Simba,
ooh,
what the hell did you have on your
Girl,
head?
I have no
idea.
Oh
my God.
But you know what? Kelly, my girlfriend, just looked at me and said, could somebody say something inspirational?
Something.
As opposed to just like, I work with the best crew and I want to thank my agent and my attorney.
Right.
I'm like, you know, and granted, if they were getting you work that was getting you millions and millions of dollars, I'd thank them too. But, you know, thank them with something from Tiffany's afterward. You're
totally
thanking them by their getting commission from you. You know, like say something inspiring because it was a little nucleus last night, a little microcosmic, except for Meryl.
Right. I was just going to say Meryl Streep, who brought it home. And
Borat talking about the space between his ass cheeks. I mean,
okay.
You know,
why have I not seen him out of makeup before? Because he is.
Yeah, it's quite a transformation, isn't it? Quite a transformation.
I had a little wood when I saw him come on the screen. I was like, oh my God.
He talked about gas and anus and balls
and
all
I was
that
like,
on the Golden Globes. I thought it was hilarious.
It was very funny. But is he gay?
No. That was his fiance. He's engaged.
Oh.
But the next film, you know, they're making is his gay character, the guy that's the fashion runway. So I think that's the next one because he's already, of course, been commissioned out the ass, pun intended.
Sure. He's
but,
hot.
But Meryl Streep, giving it up. And of course, I get my Entertainment Weekly, which is my Bible with the Judy Dench, the Helen Mirren, and the Meryl Streep on the cover. And of course, after
boom, boom,
I had to go and get tons of toilet paper to wipe myself because
not because she was crying up top.
How exciting was that? that. And it was just truly, truly to me, it was Meryl Streep's speech, Borat talking about gas, Sacha Cohen.
I think Jennifer Hudson's truthfulness.
Her truthfulness.
She's a little rough around the edges, though.
She was great, though. She was quite beautiful. And that was exhilarating. But it was Helen Mirren's night. I mean, the woman was being thanked. Yeah. Every other nomination was a show she was either in or associated with or was going to get thanked.
Totally. She was sitting real close to the front and it was worth it. And America Ferrera was so endearing.
How excited. I have to tell you, I had my fingers and toes and joints. I love Grey's Anatomy. I love Heroes. I love all these shows. But, you know, it truly could be this year, kind of the year of the Latino in entertainment finally starting to kind of burgeon forth. And, you know, I thought that was great with that and also Inarritu doing Babel. So I just... it was a great night, and America Ferrera was quite cute. I mean, there were some cute, sincere moments. I just wanted a little more inspirational. Warren Beatty sounded insane.
Oh, my God. Didn't he? And he looked
Annette
insane,
Bening
too.
Annette loves him, and that's endearing and sweet and kind, and I love that.
I think Annette Bening loves what he used to be, but...
Well, who knows? But it was a big night for Helen Mirren, big night for Ugly Betty, big night for Dreamgirls. Yeah. I mean Dreamgirls was the big win, I guess, of the night.
Truly, but I expected more from Eddie Murphy. I really thought he was just going to give us something more than thank you, this is an honor, bye.
Yeah, he was fairly humble.
I was like,
he's a very shy man, though. They say he's extraordinarily shy, is what I've heard.
But they are drinking. He should have been drinking and boozing it up because Helen Mirren looked like she had quite a few cocktails. I have to just tell you. I was so happy that emerald on her neck was astounding. It kept making me. And did you see how low that neckline was?
No, I didn't notice that at all.
Oh, my God.
Honey, I was hoping they would pop out.
there was double face tape from the nape of her neck to her navel.
No, there wasn't. I got a little shot.
No,
I'm sure.
Inside of her.
I know. I think she was just hanging in there free.
Her breasts are that firm, but they look fabulous.
We've all seen them. You just rent a movie that she's in. You've seen her tits. Oh,
isn't it in isn't Clash of the Titans? Don't you see her boobies through her gauzy
Roman
Greco
I see her
gown?
Boobies in everything that she's in. You can go online and just put Helen Mirren naked and you'll find a ton of gorgeous pictures with her. She does. She looked great. And thank God for Meryl Streep saying, you know, if you're not seeing the Queen Sherry Baby or Pan's Labyrinth in your town, which most people aren't, you know, we live here in Chicago and we take it for granted.
We're spoiled.
You know, she said, you know, go and tell your movie theaters because this has been an exciting year for women. And I truly think it has been in television and in film. It's been a more exciting year for film.
It wasn't a depressing year for film. this past year, 2006 was not as depressing
very
as I
diverse,
expected it to be.
Very
it was
diverse very, year.
Yeah, it was really all over there.
You know, not very gay, I don't really think, but having a great musical and having Devil Wears Prada and some great performances.
And everything about Queens. I mean, it was about Queens, wasn't it? A lot of it. So
yes, it's truly, truly. But let me tell you my Meryl Streep little dish, and other people may have heard this, but the buzz on the street is that they are making Mamma Mia into a musical movie.
Yes.
And Meryl Streep is going to play the lead.
Okay, so I said Mamma Mia earlier tonight, and Amy was like, oh, I have a story to tell about that. And I actually did know that.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
I did know that, but I'm so happy that
I think it's an odd choice because the book is not very strong.
No.
But the music
is
fun.
Who else is going to be up there? Because it's not just her.
What do you mean? Well, it's like, no, there's three women. Right. There's the woman who runs the Seaside Club now, who was a former singer girl with her two friends. There's got to be two other middle-aged women. And then
Lily Tomlin.
And then the daughter. And then there's three potential dads. Right. We don't know which one is the daughter's dad. But it's a basic premise of Mamma Mia. And then all the ABBA songs ensue.
Right.
So it's not, it's definitely infectious, but I don't know how it will be in a movie. It's very infectious in a theater.
Yeah, there's an energy. Because it's the crowd energy that stimulates the stage energy.
Of doing disco and everybody kind of singing under your breath all the ABBA songs. I don't know, but Meryl Streep doing a musical of any kind, if it had to be her first musical, I don't know that I think it should be Mamma Mia, but...
Well, she's been
is.
Singing before, so we're happy to see her
singing
again. Oh,
no, she'll be great. Yeah. I would just love to see her do something like... I don't know. I guess Sunset Boulevard, the movie, the musical, you know, you know, or something. I mean, it's already been a movie, but
she's not
musical.
That old yet.
No, but neither. Well, Glenn Close did it on Broadway with Betty Buckley and all of them. So she could definitely wear that hair that she, I mean, I think she's definitely ready to do Something like that. Mm. I don't know.
I think they just need to write more parts for her, and someone needs to resurrect Robert Altman so that they can work together forever. Because
it's true. It's
she's,
true.
She's real good with him. But, you know, along the way, Kara Sedgwick looked really weird, though. She looked really like, oh, my God, I didn't even think. I didn't even know about nothing.
Well, I think it's unusual. You know, I was really happy for her, though.
Yeah.
You know, the accent has definitely is a bit of a parody. It really works. It's so charming on The Closer, and I really love the show. And I think that the thing about Kira that's so great is she has such a natural ease about that character. And I thought, you know, I think it's unusual when people on these I don't know that anyone's ever won on FX, but people winning on TNT and on some of these smaller stations, of course, you know, the CW, the WB has been overlooked for years. The fact that Lauren Graham from Gilmore Girls has never been nominated is just
travesty,
shock. And people used to say the fact that Buffy was never nominated. Right. So you know, these networks are overlooked. So I think it's also maybe she thought that the nomination was enough of a token to kind of tip the hat at the non-primetime networks. And I think it's quite shocking when things from The Shield or Monk or these shows, it's not shocking when HBO wins anymore, but it's definitely shocking when these smaller networks beat an NBC, ABC, CBS lineup. It's even a shock when Fox is a player. So, you know, but I mean, seriously, you know, so I think that that was shocking for her. I thought she looked beautiful.
Oh, yes.
I think she and Kevin Bacon are just, you know, they should just bottle whatever they have and sell it.
And sprinkle some of it on me, because there was a lot of tragedy on that red carpet. What the hell was Cameron Diaz wearing with that black hair? You know what my friend at work said? She said, my grandmother used to have a lamp like that that changed colors when you turned it on.
Yeah,
that's the best cut ever.
I thought Reese looked really pretty last night.
In the yellow?
I did. I thought it was kind of a bold choice. I thought her hair was really cute.
Not
and
for
she's
winter.
Fresh off a divorce, and I thought she looked just sunny and happy and healthy, and I thought she looked really good. I thought there was
a lot of bad. What's her face with the Tira Knight with the bad hair?
Tira Knight?
No. Who had the bad hair braid, like the Swiss Miss braid over her head? It was horrible.
I don't know.
She was a presenter. It was terrible.
Know.
She didn't win anything. Well, she was just a presenter. But Charlie's Angels. Who was the other one? Oh, my God. See,
Drew
Barrymore looked hideous. What was wrong with her face? She was like tanned in one place and not in another.
Everybody was just a little glistening on my high definition television. Everybody looked a little moist, which was kind of interesting. But I think they just get boozy and they get shiny and they're Botoxed and all that really adds to the shine.
Drew Barrymore's old enough for
Botox. But you know,
I have
to say, I felt a little odd when Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie walked in. I don't know. Have we seen them at an awards show yet together? It was a bit, and you know, I don't really give a shit. I don't care if Brad's with Jennifer or Brad's with Angelina, but it just, I don't know. It felt very strange to me to see them glammed up. We've kind of seen them in the fields and with the
shooting each other,
United Colors of Benetton children, you know, but we've never really seen them. No, but in real life as Brad and Angelina walking down, have we seen them walking down a red carpet? I don't think so. We've had 5+ years of Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt walking down a red carpet. So that was kind of, that was kind of interesting. And it's always interesting to see who's sitting with whom and intermissions, who gets up and talks to one another. And
how they put it. Felicity Huffman looked awesome. She looked awesome. And I love that she just put her glasses on so she could see whenever somebody was on stage and took them right back off when the camera got close to her.
Yeah. I love Felicity. I missed, of course, the Marcia Cross because I love her.
Yes.
But and I was really glad for the Grey's Anatomy. I have a little crush right now on Kate Walsh, who's the redhead on there, who's from Chicago, did a lot of theater here in Chicago. Yeah. I like the Kate
Farbush.
Walsh. Farbush. I think she's a real redhead. I'll let you know here in a few
months. Oh, my goodness. It's like that.
Yeah.
And Mary J. Blige looked stunning. Her dress was right for me. It was blood red. It was so vibrant. Her hair was so understated, and she had perfect makeup. There's a picture of her with Justin Timberlake. Oh my God, they just look so good together.
Yeah.
They're not together, but they just looked so wonderful. Justin Timberlake looked great. John Stamos, who beat him with the handsome stick? He was always a pretty guy, but wow.
Can I tell you, okay, here I'm talking once again. And you know, my friend Taggy was listening to us over in London, and he and I had kind of not spoken in a while. And so he's learning about me through the podcast. He was like, he emailed me the other day. He did. He emailed me the other day. He was like, so Tommy, can you see the blades of grass on the, you know, on the HD? But it's so fascinating because we sit on the couch now and we're watching everything in high definition because mm-hmm. we can now program to the high definition channels.
Right.
And we're watching it on a high definition television. And it is amazing because I'm watching Ugly Betty and I'm like, oh, look at Vanessa Williams' skin.
Right.
Her skin is not good, you know? And then you can tell, like, somebody I think has a fever blister. And then, you know, you're going through all of them. And we were watching the show Brothers and Sisters the other night, you know, which is Sally Field and Calista Flockhart and Rachel Griffiths and all this. And we were just like, oh my God, like, look at the lines on her face. Look at the lines on her neck. And then Rob Lowe walks on and I'm like, oh my fucking God, there's nothing wrong with his face.
See?
I mean, Rob Lowe is like flawless. I mean, he is so beautiful.
Really?
He is. You should come over and watch.
Yeah, I should.
You should come over and watch your Heroes on high definition so we can see. But it's just fascinating. Like, you can really see. I mean, wow, it's going to change television the better and better and better they get with television. I think the surgery is going to get more severe and, I don't know, more Vaseline's going to go on the lens of the cameras or something.
Right. No,
I
want to
know
see
what's going to happen.
I want to see this in high def preview. I don't want to see this in regular preview. I want to see this
really,
in high def. Right?
It's really strange. But what's strange is you get used to seeing everybody like, oh, they got a lot of powder on. They got a lot of, even guys, like, they got a lot of makeup on. I can see the bumps under their skin. And then somebody like Rob Lowe comes on, you're like, oh my God, he looks flawless. It's just, you can absolutely tell who's had Botox in their forehead because they absolutely don't have lines, and you can tell who does have lines.
You can get the lines taken away. You can get them buffed away and pulled away. And
you can
get a lot of stuff
Botox
done without the Botox.
Botox is very easy.
It sure is.
When you see the no expressions on the forehead and you see a little shine, Nicole Kidman, you notice that they've had the Botox.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. So on today's show, who are we having on today's show? I don't even know who we're having on today's show.
Who are we having on today's show? We're actually having Candace Kane
That's
on today's show. The fantastic performer who you may have seen in Chicago and New York City. And she is really redefining the trans community.
Yeah.
Her life and her story is quite fascinating, and we're going to talk about what that looks like, and it may be different. You know, she has kind of a by-day-by-night life.
Mm.
One life by day, one life by night.
I can sympathize.
Yeah, I know you can. And, well, she's married to a DJ, so see, there you go.
Understand.
That's why you got a day and night. But, so we're going to be talking with Candace because she is going to be on a episode of CSI New York coming up next week. So want to be sure, once again, set that high def. Candace, call me. I'll talk to you about your makeup.
I want the high def makeup artist,
please.
The
high def makeup artist.
The regular
makeup. People will be able to really charge more if you become a really great high def makeup artist.
Sure, you know it. I don't know if they know the milk of magnesia trick, but we'll talk about that.
Ooh, we'll talk about that too. So all of that, plus our regular gaggle of folks this week. And, you know, coming up, in the upcoming podcast, we're going to be talking with, we're going to talk about bear community.
We're talking about the bear community. We're also going to talk about PFLAG. With some local PFLAG and some a Latino PFLAG group, which is amazing. We're going to be able to talk with them in English for y'all English speakers. Porque yo hablo español, but it's okay. I'll let it for all of you. So we've got a lot of great stuff coming up for you.
Yeah, and also coming to town in not too long from now, Paula Poundstone, funny gal. So we've got lots of good stuff coming up. So stay with us after this.
Find out what happened before Dorothy dropped in at Wicked, Chicago's newest smash hit musical, and the untold story of the Witches of Oz.
Popular, I know about popular.
Popular, USA Today calls Wicked a triumph. And Time magazine writes, if every musical had the brain, the heart, and the courage of Wicked, Broadway really would be a magical place. Now, this Grammy Award-winning blockbuster has cast its spell over Chicago. Wicked, at the Ford Center for the Performing Arts, Oriental Theater.
And nobody in all of Oz, no wizard that there is or was, is ever gonna bring me.
Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com today. Because the longer you wait, the longer you'll wait to see Wicked. Sponsored by Chase.
Need a vacation from your holiday? Crave some real relaxation and cuddle time without Cousin Susie watching your every move? Not to worry, GayHotelDiscounts.com is here to help. If you're a queen in need of a king, bed, that is, you can find the luxury you desire at a price you can afford. Powered by the strongest search engine on the web, GayHotelDiscounts.com are your gay travel experts.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Nudist Colony Activity Coordinator.
Mr. Nudist Colony Activity Coordinator.
Wearing nothing but a whistle and a clipboard, you're living the real American dream. Getting paid to think up fun things to do naked.
Running free.
Sure, there's danger. Vinyl chairs, sunburns, chafage, and lawn darts completely out of the question.
Watch out now.
Your keen instincts tell you to stick to activities that involve lots of bouncing and jiggling. And if that doesn't work, who cares? You're all naked.
It's your birthday.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, nudie boys. Because we all know when the going gets tough, the tough get naked.
The nudist college activity.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of January 15th, 2007, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
About Face Theater presents Execution of Justice, Emily Mann's landmark play exploring the assassination of Harvey Milk and the trial of Dan White and the infamous Twinkie defense. This must-see production, directed by Gary Griffin of Broadway's The Color Purple and The Apple Tree, is playing now at the Victory Gardens Greenhouse, 2257 North Lincoln. For tickets to Execution of Justice, call 773-871-3000 or visit aboutfacetheater.com.
The Wooden Breaks begins January 24th at the Looking Glass Theater in the Water Tower Waterworks. Heidi Stillman directs Glenn Berger's masterful tale of a man tormented by the memory of his beloved and stuck in his own story. Join dreamers, schemers, and would-be lovers navigating their way through the murky Scottish town of Brood. For tickets, call 312-337-0665 or visit lookingglasstheater.org.
And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
This is Logan Schwarzengrubenier from the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, and my two dads and I are completely buzzing about this week's Bee in My Bonnet. This bee is as frustrating as trying to keep a New Year's resolution. I'm trying to help everyone out by making their resolutions for them. But my dad's made me narrow it down to the three most important so that I can stay off of Xanax Jr. Britney Spears needs to wear some panties. Rosie O'Donnell and Donald Trump need to kiss and make up. And President Bush needs to learn one new word every day. But this time, they have to be real words. This is Logan Schwarzengrubenier, and that's the bee in my bonnet. Be sure to check us out on the web at spellingbeethemusical.com/Chicago.
And this is your Windy City CareerCast News. In Houston, Isa Lopez, a transgender woman, is allegedly the victim of gender-based discrimination. Lopez applied for a job with River Oaks Imaging. However, the job offer was rescinded a week later when the human resource director reportedly discovered that Lopez is transgender and accused her of misrepresenting herself as a woman on her application. Lambda Legal is representing Lopez in a lawsuit charging River Oaks with violating Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, the federal law prohibiting sex discrimination in employment.
A New York City judge who said the Massachusetts marriage of two gay men was void has ruled that the couple's separation agreement is valid and legally enforceable. State Supreme Court Justice Phyllis Gangel Jacob issued the decision in the divorce case of David Gonzalez and Stephen Green, who married in Massachusetts on February 14, 2005. Gonzalez wanted a divorce, and Green wanted a ruling that they were never married.
Oh, what a sad Valentine's Day they had. Scott Oak, a gay police officer from Missoula, Montana, is headed to Afghanistan to help train that country's national police force. Oak, the Missoula Police Department's gay liaison officer, said he's taking a one-year leave to complete the task. The State Department became aware of Oak after he came out in the news media and took the job as Missoula's first police liaison to gays and lesbians.
In San Francisco, Police Chief Heather Fong defended officers who broke up a street beating of a Yale University University singing group on New Year's Eve, saying they made no arrests because they could not find anyone to substantiate any charges. Accusations of delay and inaction by police have dogged the incident that left one member of the Baker's Dozen singing group with a broken jaw and another with a concussion. The situation began when uninvited party guests hurled homophobic slurs at the all-male a cappella group.
Don't call yourself the Baker's Dozen. In New Jersey, a police officer has received a $450,000 settlement after suing Hallidon, New Jersey, and several of its officials for anti-gay discrimination. Sergeant James Len, a 20-year veteran of the force, claimed he had been passed over for promotion and suffered harassment because he is gay. He said that he was reprimanded for minor tardiness, even though his colleagues were not, and that a former councilman once radioed, "Homo, homo, homo."
Lots of room for improvement there. Actor Alan Cumming married illustrator Grant Schaefer in a civil ceremony last week. The couple, who'd been dating 2 years, were married at the Old Royal Naval College in Greenwich outside of London. Among the guests were Ian McKellen, Jerry Halliwell, Rufus Wainwright, Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio, and Monica Lewinsky. How'd she get in there?
I don't know. She slides on in her little black dress. Mr. Blackwell has unleashed his 47th annual list of worst-dressed women. Well, who had the top spot? Two lucky women. Hoo-ha. Britney Spears and Paris Hilton. And in addition, he did announce his favorites, and they included Kate Winslet, Angelina Jolie, Heidi Klum, Barbara Streisand, and Helen Mirren, placing them on his fabulous fashion independence for 200 list.
Logo has announced 5 original audio and video podcasts at Apple's iTunes store, giving its audience access to news and entertainment at the click of a mouse. Among the podcasts are Jason Bellini's Here and Now and She Said What, in which 4 co-hosts dish on the week in lesbian pop culture.
She Said What?
She Said What? And that's your Windy City Queercast news.
Thank you, parents. We hope you enjoyed the fifth graders' orchestra recital.
What if wherever you went, you got more than you were expecting?
Hi, Daddy!
Hey, thanks for watching the kids.
Anytime.
How were they?
Good.
No problems?
Nope. Oh, and I taught Noah his multiplication tables, and I've got Wendy reading Shakespeare.
At LaSalle Bank, we think more is precisely what you should expect. More responsiveness, more service, more convenience. In a word, more.
Hey, Billy.
Hi, Mr. Schmidt.
What are you doing in the bushes?
Oh, I was getting your newspaper.
My newspaper?
Yeah, I must have been off balance when I threw it and I totally missed the porch.
Oh.
I just didn't want you to have to go looking for it.
Thanks, Billy.
And with any luck, our philosophy will catch on everywhere. LaSalle Bank, making more possible. LaSalle Bank N.A., member FDIC.
Windy City Queercast is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago and Wicked, the most popular musical in Chicago history. For tickets, visit wickedthemusical.com/Chicago.
Hi, Neil D. Paris here from NewWorldAstrology.com, Windy City's very own astrologer. Now you can have a personal reading based on your own birth chart. Discover your life path, your gifts and challenges this lifetime, relationship compatibility, career, finance, and more. Practical advice using real astrology. It's unique to you. You'll be amazed what your birth chart reveals. Everyone has a unique life purpose. What's yours? Find out more at newworldastrology.com.
Hi, this is Patrick Bristow, and you are listening to the Windy City Queercast. What do you think of that?
Get when you combine a high kick with high beauty? Well, I just think of Candace Kane, a performer that cannot be contained in a club, so she just has to burst out onto the streets. And she is a performer that the New York Times calls a must-see, and I agree with them. And millions of people are going to get to see her on January 24th on CSI New York, and they'll just know what we're talking about because, you know, the GLBT community, we are in the know, and now we share with network television.
Absolutely.
Hey, Candace, how are you?
I'm gorgeous. Thank you.
Yes, you are.
How are you guys?
We're good. We're thrilled to be talking with you and always thrilled when we see that barriers are continuing to be broken down and diversity is starting to come to prime time.
Isn't that wonderful?
It's fantastic.
It makes me smile.
It's great for me because I can start working again.
Yeah, it's right. The time is right. Well, let's go back and talk just a little bit. I want to kind of get to know the life story of Candace Kane, how Candace came about. You were born in Hawaii, like one of my other favorite performers, Bette Midler. So tell me.
We go way back.
Yes, with your ukuleles, I'm sure, and getting laid.
And pineapples.
But tell me about your childhood.
Well, you know, I actually was born in Wisconsin, if you could believe that.
Wow.
But at an early age, my parents moved me to Maui, so I was raised on Maui. And
that is what made you gay right there, a move from Wisconsin to Maui.
You know, it's exactly. You have to, you know, I can't be mad at my parents for that. But, you know, childhood was interesting. You know, it's really an interesting thing being a twin, having a twin brother. And you know, being kind of like him, but not at all, because you knew that something was a little different, but you couldn't really figure it out. You know, so it was an interesting thing. But I have really gorgeous hippie parents, and they teach at a Waldorf school, and they're really, like, love and amazing. And so it was really not a hard childhood for me. It was really easy.
Really? So you didn't, I mean, because I've always heard, too, that in Hawaii there is a lot, that it can be tough for Caucasian kids in school, in the school system. And if you add to that the fact that you were struggling with your gender identity, but obviously you're saying your parents just really, really held you up and provided a good foundation for you.
Yeah, I mean, all through grade school, I went to, like, this gorgeous Waldorf school that was hippy-dippy and just amazing. And so I never had any problems. I had a problem, you know, I had some problems when I went to high school and I was, you know, my first jump into the public system and, you know, having to deal with that kind of thing. But, you know, that lasted like a year, and then I got involved in the drama program. And
yes.
You know, that saved me. That was my, you know.
Don't we all find our way there at some point?
We all do.
Truly, honey.
Exactly.
To the drama, either on stage or in our lives.
It's all on stage,
as Mary J. Blige said.
I have not left the stage since the age of seven.
So
Thank God for Ms. Loudon letting us run into her, you know, her theater room at recess.
Yeah. Now, dance and choreography became an early part of your expression. Where was the genesis for that, and how did dance and choreography figure into your life?
Well, one of my earliest memories is watching Singing in the Rain and seeing Sid Charisse in that beautiful emerald dress dazzle on screen, and I was mesmerized, and I was kind of obsessed with having that kind of style and, you know, learning how to dance like that. And that's where it kind of started. And, you know, I it was hard on Maui because there wasn't really anything. Like, you had to drive, you know, for a while to get to a dance class or to do that. But, you know, I just kind of took it as it came and, you know, tried my best to better myself, you know, as a dancer. That's
right.
What I wanted to do.
So when did you start transitioning, and when did Candace emerge for you?
Well, I have a drag mother. Her name is Guava Chiffon. She's from Hawaii. And we did an early production. We did a production of La Caja Full right before I left Hawaii and came to the mainland. And that I kind of got my drag bug then, and I moved to L.A. for a year before moving to New York, and I started doing drag with Guava, and I needed to find a name. And then she changed her name to Lana Kane. Huh. And so I was like, well, I have to be her sister, so I'm going to go with Candy Kane. And that lasted about 6 months, and I was like, oh, I hate candy. So lengthen it to Candace. It sounds much more distinguished. And then I moved to New York, and you know, I hadn't heard of you know, people being transgendered. I knew I was different, but I didn't know what it was. You know, I knew that, that I wasn't happy in my skin still, thinking, you know, oh, I'm gay and I'm in the gay world and I'm doing drag and I'm having fun, but I have a lot more fun in drag than I do out of drag, you know, mm-hmm. I feel better. And when I moved to New York, you know, after a couple of years, I was like, what is going on? And then I was like, I had met a girlfriend named Natalie, and she had just had SRS surgery. And I was like, wait, I want to grow old as a woman and not as a man. That's where all these, like, not satisfied feelings are coming from. And I, you know, started doing hormone therapy, and I was never happier.
Wow. Now, was this in your late teens that you were starting to
really early 20s?
Because, you know, yeah. It's so fascinating today, and which is why I'm so glad that there are people like you and Alexandra Billings and other really amazing, talented performers in the trans community who are actually very verbal and can explain their experience so well, because I think so many people are transitioning so much younger now.
Sure.
It's described for some of you all as like a place of coming home. And so I just think it's great if somebody can find that as soon as possible.
Yeah, no, I think it's, you know, when you're 13, 14, 15, you don't know how to tell people what you're going through. You know, you're just learning about yourself. And it is really refreshing to have people like her or me talk about it openly and not be weird about it and be able to express herself so other people can be like, oh, that's what I want.
Right.
You know? It's not a big secret.
And I think in many ways, what makes someone like you also so special is that you are so successful and you have created not only this wonderful life for yourself, but you've created this wonderful career for yourself, because I've known a lot of girls who've taken a much darker path and who've gone, you know, so I think for the young kids, it's so good to see that, hey, wait a minute, you can leave all that drama over there and you can really follow.
Let's talk a little bit about
what
your life
was really important to me was that I didn't go to a dark place. You know, I come from such a light place, you know, with my family. And even if you have a chosen family, if you don't go down that road, it's, you know, I think that people have a choice. And I know a lot of people go through a lot of horrible things. A lot of trans people go through a lot of, you know, horrible things. And I'm not trying to make light of that. But my whole thing is that, you know, as soon as you start saying to yourself you're not a victim, I think people will stop treating you like one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, you stand up and claim your life, and absolutely. You have a very rich, full life. I was saying earlier, before we started talking to you, at the beginning of the show, that what's really interesting is you kind of have two different lives by day and by night. And kind of describe that for our listeners. I mean, what does Candace Kane's life look like that might surprise people?
I know it's kind of funny because, I, you know, lived in the East Village for over 10 years, and finally one day I met an amazing man in my life, and we, you know, we've been together 4 years, Marco. He's an amazing DJ, and he's, you know, my partner in life, and I love him to death, and, you know, we were sitting around a small, tiny one bedroom, and I was like, you know what? We need a bigger place. My clothes are taking up this whole space. So let's move somewhere and, you know, buy a house in New York City. It was like, wah, wah. That's not going to happen off a showgirl's salary. So we moved to Jersey. And, you know, we bought a house out here in Jersey. We're a half an hour from the city. And so, you know, during the day, he has a 5-year-old stepdaughter, so I'm stepmama Kane. And we have two adorable boxers, and we have this beautiful house in the suburbs of New Jersey. And by the day time, we take care of our house and fall more and more in love. And then at night, we go to the city, and he plays music, and I dance around the streets of New York.
Yeah, I mean, you have, I mean, it's truly, I mean, you have kind of this picket fence existence by day, and you have the kind of dreamy, high energy nightlife, life by night. Now, you have been performing your one woman show in New York City, which is just, it's everything. It's singing and it's dancing and it's comedy. And you perform weekly. I mean, tell us about your schedule, like what a performance schedule looks like in case people are coming to New York or want to see you.
Well, I, Marco's making me laugh. I'm sorry. I actually, right now, I was doing 4 shows a week during the summer, which is a lot when you're doing it. It's kind of improv and you have to make up new shows every day. And you know, during the winter, it eases up a little bit. So I'm doing 3 shows right now. The first is Saturday night at a place called Tour. It's a restaurant on 15th and 8th. And it's right on 8th Avenue, and I run out into the street and have a lot of fun with it. It's really a lot of fun. It's a midnight show.
I love that. That's so improv and just who knows what the hell's going to happen when you run out on the street.
I know. It's like a full, it's the ultimate in improv. Going outside in New York City. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And Mondays, Sundays I do a show called, it's at Opus 22. It's more of an early show because during the summer we have a tea dance and I do a 6 o'clock show and it's still light out. And, you know, there's a ton of people having afternoon cocktails. And then during the winter time, I do it around 8:30. So people can still go and have their dinners or go and get ready for work, to wake up the next day. And that's on 22nd and West Side Highway. And my last show, I just moved. I was at a place called Barracuda for years and years and years.
Love that space. Oh.
It was so much fun. But, you know, when it's time, you got to move on and try new things. So I was like, I want to do more of a dinner theater type of thing. So I started doing a show at a place called Aspen. It's a restaurant, and it's absolutely beautiful inside. It has this amazing fire pit in the middle of the room, and it looks like you stepped into a lodge in Aspen. It's really cool.
I'm envisioning Candace Kane in a white fur with a muff.
Yes, muff.
Definitely. And lots of muff.
And some Uggs.
And heeled Uggs.
Heeled Uggs. Okay,
I had a girl. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes, that's right.
And that's a 10:30 show. So those are my gigs. And then Marco and I, we do a lot of gigs where we'll do special appearances or go and fly to Los Angeles and do a show and stuff like that. So.
Well, now, and you have some film work as well. That's tell us about the films that you have recently worked on.
I did a movie. It's a comedy, with RuPaul called Star Booty Reloaded.
And how is Miss Rue?
Rue is wonderful. She looks gorgeous, and we had so much fun doing this little movie together. It should be coming out in the summer. But Rue is just as fabulous as she ever was. You know, funny and. We've known each other a long time because I did a video for her way back when, in the 90s. Way back in those 90s.
Just so long ago.
So long ago. And a little bit of love. And that was fun. And I went to Brazil and I shot an independent film called A Lebanese Blonde. And, how those independent films go. You never know when they're going to come out. They're like, oh, yeah. It's still in editing. Trying to get money for that editing. And I just finished doing CSI New York.
Yeah.
It's a film, it's television, but that was kind of a shock. My one of my managers, Nikki, of Nikki and Carol fame, they called me up and they were like, go to this audition. It's for CSI. They're looking for an impersonator. Kind of like a drag impersonator, but just go and see what happens. And I went in and I did a number and I told them I don't impersonate anybody, but I'm going to just do my best. And they called me when I was getting my hair done in the chair. Thank God, because I would have had to go to LA with Roots. And they called me and said, you have to be here tomorrow for the fitting.
Oh, wow.
And,
you know, that was really kind of, you know, shocking and whirlwind. And I had to, you know, pack quickly, which I don't like to do. So that was, it was so much fun. And I did, you know, I was there for 10 days shooting 7. And it was such an amazing experience because they were so lovely. They were so accommodating. And, you know, I got there and the script was kind of off for a transgendered part. They, you know, were doing weird things that nobody would ever do who's transgendered, you know. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, sat with the director and the writer, and I was like, you know, can I really please talk to you guys? This makes me uncomfortable because I want to represent my community in a real way, because there's been too many times, almost every single time, where, you know, our community is, you know, there's weird things like standing and peeing and, you know, stuff like that just would never happen.
Right.
And they were really accommodating, and they changed everything that I thought was awkward.
Can you tell us a little bit about what your storyline is? Because it's airing on January 24th, we should say.
Right, January 24th. That's like a week away.
Yes.
And, well, I can't really give it away other than the fact that I am the one who gets murdered.
Ooh.
Yeah, and they have to figure out who killed me. So,
girl, did it take them 7 days to kill you on a shoot on the set?
Well, they do all the flashbacks.
Right.
And so they show me, you know, talking to different characters that they're interviewing and reasons why I'd want to be dead, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
But it was a lot of fun because I opened up with this big opening number. They got backup dancers and, you know, had a choreographer and did this really fun opening number.
Ooh,
so.
That makes like a 5 a.m. call. Okay, if there's backup dancers, right?
That's right.
Yeah, that's gorgeous. What showgirl doesn't want a stage full of backup dancers?
Yeah.
And I have to get up at what time? Okay.
And the budget that CSI has, I'm sure, right? That the phenom that it is. You know, do you mentioned about really wanting to represent trans characters accurately and feeling a responsibility. And I think, you know, I think it's even brave when you get a show like a big show, big network show, and you walk up to the director and say, I want to talk to you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think that takes, you know, a lot of bravery, a lot of courage, and good for you for doing that, number
Thank
one.
You.
But number two.
But I didn't sleep all night the night before I went.
I'm sure they're going to fire me, but I can't. But seriously, I you know, I'm curious as to, I mean, you mentioned the thing about standing up and peeing, and I'm assuming that you're referring to Trans America. Because didn't she do that?
Yeah, she sure did.
And you know,
full frontal too. Well,
yeah, and I mean, I think that there are just obviously, I guess, how does Hollywood start to get it right? And do you think it's just the slow and steady appearances by you or Alex or other, you know, God, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting her name, who was in the, the film with Jane Fonda's son, The Soldier's Girl. It's gone. Can't remember her name right now. But, you know, do you think it's just the slow and steady portrayals that you all are trying to do in a really authentic way?
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, this happened in the gay community. You know, if you remember way back in, you know, there was all this wrong stuff that was happening in film. And it just took time for people to get it, you know. And, you know, I think it takes people who are doing things, you know, saying, well, this isn't actually what would happen. And I know you have to reveal the fact that I'm transsexual, but there are other ways, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Words are just as powerful as images if they're said right, you know.
Right.
And I think it takes that. And it just takes people to say, you know, this wouldn't happen. Maybe you guys could help me because I feel uncomfortable doing this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, and I think those, it's those little victories, because truly that is a huge victory for you and for all of us in the community. That's a huge thing you did. It's a very brave thing you did. But I think it's those little victories that keep moving us forward bit by bit, inch by inch, little by little. I mean, if you,
right.
Well, it is. And I also think it's just the bravery to stand up and say, like, this is what my authentic life looks like. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I'm sure, you know, I don't know, Candace, you'd have to tell us. I mean, you know, I am sure in the same way, the way gay roles were 15 years ago, because I think the trans community is at least that far behind right now, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, that there are, you know, we talked with Alexandra, you know, a while ago when she was on Grey's Anatomy, and you know, she was like, you know, I'm playing the same character. I'm dying. You know, I was dying on ER. I'm dying here.
Right.
You know, are you
and
going
I get
to
murdered,
and you get murdered and
you know, that character turn into the heroine of the, you know, of the movie or the show or the happy-go-lucky transgendered character without a care in the world who
right.
falls madly in love and moves to Jersey.
Right. And I guess the challenge, you know, is how do you get to play just like, I don't know, goofy gun expert or something, you know?
You know what my philosophy on that is that I go to the set and I'm happy and I'm professional and I'm good at what I do. And I cause all the people that are working in the future on future projects to say, oh, my God, remember Candace? Why don't we cast her in this role? It would be perfect.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, I think you have to do that with positivity. You know, that's how you get forward.
Well, you have to show up and you have to be authentic and be willing to be there.
Right.
And I think
you know,
that's...
I have no control over this cast or the writing of what they say about me. I just have control over what I do and what my limits are, you know?
Right.
And then you have to struggle with, well, I am an actress and I'm playing a role. So, you know, they could say, well, this is the role that you're playing. But then if the role hits too close to home, how do you distinguish between role and life, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So.
Well, it shows a lot of strength of character, and I was just kind of curious as to, you know, you mentioned the woman that moved to LA when you moved from Hawaii, and was it LA? Yeah, LA. Yeah. And I'm just curious as to who else has been. I mean, you said your family, your parents. Is there anybody else? Because you were definitely, you know, you've appeared at Wigstock. You've been around a lot of really strong women, and I'm just curious as to, you know, what really has stuck out for you, influences or anything somebody has told you along the way that really, you know, grounded you and kept you really centered.
You know, for me personally, it was all my life experiences and, you know, my parents preparing me to go out into the world and be a good person and to say the right things and to do the right things. It's not one particular statement, I think, that they taught me. It was the way they raised me, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to think. I have so many people in my life that have come and gone or are still friends of mine and that have influenced me and made me who I am today, that it would be so hard to just say one line or one person.
Well, and I'm sure that you are aware of how fortunate you are that from beginning to now that you've had that kind of support. And for other people who don't, you can look at Candace Kane's life as an inspiration and definitely something to garner hope from, and that change is coming and it's very exciting. So we hope everybody will tune in to CSI New York on January 24th. If you're in the New York area, please go see Candace at Tour or at Opus or at the Aspen Lounge, her new place. And, you know, and Candace, we hope if you come to the Chicago area that you will come and, you know, hang out with us one night.
Yeah.
We'll do a live video cast or something.
I would totally love to.
Yes. I think that we'll get Nikki back here in the summer and, you know, you'll have to meet in the middle.
There. I'm demanding that she come back to Chicago. So
the gals can all go out.
Uh-huh.
Check it out. And if you want to find out more about Candace, her site is under construction, but very quickly, probably even maybe by the time we get this out, who knows, go on our website at WindyCityCareerCast.com and we will link you straight through so you'll know everything that's going on in her life, or at least everything she wants us to know that's going on in her life. And thanks so much, Candace, and we'll all be watching.
Absolutely. And folks, thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And LaSalle Bank. LaSalle Bank, making more possible.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com. So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows at windycityqueercast.com and in iTunes.
And email us for giveaways at wcmgpromo@aol.com.
Folks, we want to tell you that the next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
The best and the brightest served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show, and Limelight.